Hey guys, John Henry Spann here. Got a great episode for you coming up. If you enjoy it, please make sure to leave us a review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Give us 5 stars, like us, subscribe us, share us with people. Thanks so much for listening.
Hello, this is Phil, and on this episode of Honest to God, we ask the question, should you go to college? This question is one that every young adult has asked themselves, and the way the world is currently set up, it makes it seem like it is the only path to success. So keep on listening to not only hear why college is not the... So keep on listening to hear why you may want to go to college and why you may want to just go to boating school.
Just say thanks for listening to the
show. So keep listening to why. Thanks. So keep listening to this episode of Honest to God. All this and more. go to boating school. Boats and more.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, super pumped to be here today. You're listening to Honest to God on AM 1160, The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. As always, I'm John Henry. Producer Ben is in studio.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. Shifting cars, tickling keys, making magic over there. Really rocking it. You got a TV on your shirt. I like that. That's cool.
Yep.
It's a tree on it.
And the sun.
You've been wearing that shirt for the last 3 weeks as we've done these episodes of Honest to God.
I only have one for a 3 week period.
Oh, that's fine. I wear the same shirt.
That's so
get
sustainable.
Rid of it and get a new one.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
We had that environmental sustainability episode, and I was like, all right.
Gonna stop washing my clothes.
Buy one shirt, wear it for 3 weeks, take it to Goodwill, turn it in, donate it, go buy another one.
Mm-hmm. It's not a bad idea, actually. Yeah. You don't need a washing machine.
Yeah, how are you guys doing it?
Oh, no, that's disgusting.
No, the rule is.
Go in and get one. Like, you leave your shirt and
you put it on the rack.
Just trade it out.
No, the rule is you fill up the hamper, and then you turn it over like a sandcastle, and you pull it off, and then the stuff on the bottom, because of time and pressure, has become clean.
Yeah.
Or a diamond.
So, I mean, it just becomes... worse.
I'm pretty sure Andy Dufresne said in Shawshank Redemption that time and pressure will solve every problem related to cleanliness. I don't know about the last part, but the other stuff was
Andy Dufresne. I think it was in there.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, speaking of Shawshank Redemption, that movie takes place in prison, right, Ben?
It does.
Prison. Mm. Big, soulless, brick building made to beat the humanity out of people, which some would say is similar to...
College.
There you go, which is our episode today. For the record, this is not an anti-college episode. While I might express some opinions on the brokenness of what I consider the brokenness of the American education system, we are talking today about all things college, do's and don'ts. We got a resident college expert, Phil. FIL, who's been here, who's been to more colleges than everyone else in this room combined.
So more than he can count.
There we go.
We also got Grace returning with us, who's always wonderful. Madeline, who's always here. And Drew, this is what, your third time on the show?
Second time on the show.
Oh my goodness. Well, we're going to get you in for a third time for sure.
Woo-hoo.
Drew is was here, Lord of the Rings expert. Yeah. Not too long ago.
Expert, he
rocked it. It was incredible, Drew. But before we get started, let's open with a prayer. Anybody want to volunteer? All right.
Raise your hand, Ben.
Producer Ben, whenever you're ready.
Me?
Yeah, so your hand go up.
I don't think I've ever done the prayer before.
Dude, you're a killer prayer.
All right, let's do it. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, fill us with your grace. Come be in this room with us during this conversation about what young people should do after their time in high school, whether or not they should follow you into school, or whether or not they should venture out into the world that you've created. Lord, help us to spark the hearts and minds of young adults and lead us wherever you want us to go. And we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee.
Blessed are thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Son, the Holy Spirit. Spirit. Yeah, a solid 7.5 out of 10.
Cool.
So, it was good.
I appreciate it. I'll take that. Not as good to hear.
I thought you were going to stick the landing. But it was
a little rough.
I'm not going to knock a Hail Mary.
It's just cliche.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't say that, but Drew did. All right. So we got one fun fact apiece, starting with Phil.
That's a good start. So my fun fact will be, I'm a big fan of boats. I really like boats.
Just in general.
I'll name you two boats that are super cool that I was reading about while I was being so productive at
Titanic.
Work.
Titanic.
Because that one
that boat didn't work.
It didn't.
And Noah's Ark.
Well, terrible idea.
Terrible idea. No, Blue Marlin and the Vanguard. That's cool. It. Google
Vanguard.
Yourselves.
That's a cool one.
I'm not gonna tell you.
Bill's not your dad.
Don't ask your dad about that. I ain't here for that. Go to college to learn about it.
Ooh, what a good segue.
Or Google.
But I'm gonna need you to hold off on that segue because we still need a fun fact.
Truly.
Well, kind of tagging off of that, I am a mastermind when it comes to building a college schedule. I will register for far too many classes just knowing I'm going to drop half of them after I determine whether or not I like the professor.
Sure.
So, and like I've read their syllabi and everything. So, yeah, that's what I would say.
All right, cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what about you, Madeline? What you got?
That's a really good question, John Henry.
You've got a fun fact. Come on.
Fun fact.
When you've been on the show for 3,799 out of the 3,800 episodes we've had.
Yeah, what can I say? I'm running out of fun facts.
It doesn't have to be about you. It can be a fun fact.
Fun fact. Okay, so my car makes a noise whenever you open it or you turn the AC on, and it's like a little ticking noise. And one of my friends, Annie, actually, who's been on the show before, together we co-named him Leonard because just why not? It's so funny because sometimes it'll just go off, and my friends will just be like, Leonard.
I like that. Big fan of naming cars. Yep. You had Carl for a while.
I had Carl. Now I have Fergus.
Fergus?
Mm-hmm. Fergus.
Mine's Luella. All my trucks have been females.
Luella.
That's named after the character from Cormac McCarthy's No Country for Old Men, mm-hmm. who was a man, mm-hmm. but his name was Llewellyn, and I just thought it stuck, or it worked with the truck. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, actually, real quick, my car's name is Jada, but the little man that's inside of my dash—that's
I'm sorry, I can't believe I didn't pick up on that.
I just wanted to preface.
No, thank you.
Do I get my fun fact in? Yes.
Yes, you're ready. Drew.
Fun fact: my favorite time is 11:17.
Nice.
Great number. It's just a good time. 2 hours and 10 minutes, baby. We'll get there.
Is it AM? Is it PM?
Oh, it doesn't matter. Knows. It's just like a time. Like, it's fun to say. I like look at the clock all the time and be like, oh my gosh, it's 11:17. What'd you know? Like, warms my heart a little bit.
It's your favorite time because of saying it, or what? Makes
it's probably just
because
I look at it like on analog clocks. I'm like, whew. I don't know. It just gives my heart warmth. Best time is golden hour, but that's not like a time, you know? It was 8:30 tonight. It's going to be 5 o'clock in 6 months.
One of my
hour.
I like this. All right, cool. One fun thing about this show is in this windowless room that we film in different locations. Not a lot of people know this, but we're filming in cities all across the nation and the world.
We transport the room with us.
We're currently in St. Petersburg.
It's portable.
What we do is we take the room and we just move it about 20 feet to our right into the empty nothingness of despair over here that may or may not be show notes, Benny.
And we end up somewhere else.
Anywhere.
It's great.
So, big shout out to everybody from St. Petersburg, Russia. Turns out not a great place to be right now. You don't want to open that door. Anyway, you good, Grace?
Yes.
All right, fantastic. So we're not here today to talk about Russian politics. We're here today, we're here today to talk about college. So I'm going to just do my spiel because I just need to get this out of the way. All right. I am overeducated. I have a pair of master's degrees on top of a bachelor's degree, and it has worked for my career. It's been useful. It's helped me. But I want to make sure that what we don't do today is say, you got to go to college, rah, 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 college. It's the only way to be successful, because I think that is a bunch of hooey, as the kids say, Madeline. I think I do. I think that is nonsense, and I'm sick of shoving that down people's throats. I think it's a bad idea. I think college is absolutely useful for a number of things, but I don't think we need to just push this idea of you got to go to college, 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 or you're not going to be successful. That is nonsense. That is logic of 40 years ago, and I think we need to look past it. So. I don't know. What are your thoughts? Let's go just college in general. Like, if you're in college, what are you in for? Are you going to do something practical with that? And then just, I don't know, thoughts and advice. This is a young adult show, so we're not really geared towards high schoolers going into college, but just people who aren't in it or people who might be going for an advanced degree or something like that. Thoughts?
Wow. I have to say, I completely agree with you. It's weird that you've forced the system upon people when it really isn't necessarily beneficial education-wise. It almost feels at times like a scheme to make some more money.
Totally.
It's weird that education should be done with that, especially as we already have a public education system. Mm-hmm. There's a weird little thing tacked on top, and you're like, huh, why do we need this? But what's hard is, despite, quote-unquote, the need to force down people's throat, there's regardless necessity for people to be trained for jobs and people to be trained for high-skilled professions as the skill ceiling for professions only rises.
Right.
So there's a weird issue of how do you get rid of that necessity for paying money for higher education that doesn't really benefit people, but also educate people and give them qualifications for jobs at the same time.
Yeah, totally.
It's weird.
I could definitely
tangent off of that, but yeah.
I was going to say, I could definitely harp on for hours about why college has turned to be such a money-making cow for all these universities and such. I'll just say straight up, just scholarships, grants, all the free money. I mean, of course, universities are going to start charging more for students to go. You're getting free money out of it, and it's just raise the prices. So that's why it's kind of gotten so crazy, at least in my opinion, why the price of college has gotten so crazy. And it's gone downhill so far. But talking about the trades, it's a great route to go. I mean, when I got out of high school, I didn't know what I was doing. I went to college for what I'll call a weekend and then dropped out and then dropped out like seven more times. I don't know. I never learned
how to. Which is why Phil's our college
expert. There you go. Yeah. A lot of colleges started in Iowa and somehow got dropped off the dropout bus here.
Well, glad you did.
So, I know. But definitely going to the trades, it's a great route to go. But I'll say, if you're looking at your options of going to college and not going to college, if you're not going to go to college, be prepared to work. I mean, it's not going to be, you're not going to have 4 years of the same luxuries of going to a college and having that time to find, well, I don't want to say to find yourself, but you're not going to be able to hang out with your friends like everybody who's going to college will. You're not going to have these same luxuries. You're going to need to work hard. I think a big issue with a lot of parenting nowadays, if your kid's not going to go to college, make it a little bit strict on them, you know, start charging them rent if they're going to live in your basement, or, you know, just kick your kids out and change the locks on the doors. That's what my dad did. So then again, he never gave me a key to original lock anyway. So he had that planned out for a long time, but you're going to have to work hard. You can't just keep it lazy. I mean, if you got to get out and start your job at McDonald's and build up the work experience and go from there, do it. But don't just work at these entry-level jobs. I mean, work hard, build yourself up. I mean, I've been through so many different career paths and industries. It's really weird that I'm where I am now. But yeah, just work hard if you're not going to go to college.
Yeah. And I don't want to just badmouth colleges because there absolutely are totally valid reasons to go to college. And there's benefits of college, even going to a big public system. And I'd love to talk about public versus Catholic here in a little bit. But what are your thoughts, Grace, Madeline?
Well, I would just go back to what I was saying. I'm a huge hack when it comes to many things in life, but I think finding like the hacks for your college, depending on what state you are, what school you're trying to go to, and those kind of things can be really beneficial, especially going back to Drew's point about how a lot of colleges and just, you know, through the system have become money-making sources and they're just looking for the next dollar. Something that I did personally was I took a lot of dual enrollment classes in high school, and basically that's just, it's a course, but you're taking it in high school, it's college level, and you're earning college credit. Mm-hmm. So if somebody's in like, you know, quote unquote gifted classes or like, you know,
AP,
those things, that's a great way to kind of get out of, you know, having to pay at the college more money. There's also programs in the state of Georgia that are called freshman year for free. They offer courses online that are free and you take them. And by the end of the course, you know, you have weekly quizzes or something on your own schedule, actually. And at the end of the course, you get a voucher to go take a test, and they're called CLEP tests, which anyone can take. You don't have to take this course beforehand, but the test is normally like $90, something like that. But if you take it and, you know, test out of a certain level of proficiency, then you get that college credit. I did that for, I think, college algebra, because I was taking upper level classes in my high school, but I didn't do dual enrollment. So I tested out of it, and it was, for me, it was like a subject I was very comfortable in. So it was kind of easy to do, a no-brainer, and it was free. So, yeah, I love those little hacks and things like that.
And it ultimately does come down to money, at least from my perspective, right? It seems like I totally understand why you would want to get into more advanced studies on X, Y, and Z, but it seems that it is, and I'm not saying this of all colleges, and I'm going to throw out some that I really love here in a minute, but it's almost like a pay-to-play scheme, whereas a lot of entry-level positions that used to require a college diploma, or I'm sorry, a high school diploma, because of the proliferation of bachelor's degrees, they've just said, oh, actually, we're just going to bump that up and say, mm-hmm. like, it works as a straining mechanism so that HR departments, so then people who are doing hiring don't have to worry so much about the person they're bringing in. They think, oh, well, they can survive 4 years of going through a little more college. They've got the wherewithal to stick with it. And so to make our life easier, we're just going to say you have to have a bachelor's degree now. And so it just seems like this cycle that we're all getting caught up in. And once again, I say that as somebody who went to college and who played ball with all those things, you know, who played by those rules. And I don't regret it because I had a definitive like direction that I was heading and I knew what I wanted out of it. But I don't know if I would encourage my son to do that in 10 years. We'll see.
Yeah.
Kind of depends on the landscape a lot for sure.
Sure.
Something you mentioned about the proliferation of knowledge, right. Made me think about, just triggered my mind about the dynamic between knowledge as a culture and knowledge, how we, within how we hire and
right.
treat other people and how money is exchanged. And it almost feels like there's the ability to buy knowledge, or at least the certificate of knowledge in a sense.
Right.
And that's mm-hmm. extremely worrying as people who are all a part of this culture and people that will partake in its future.
Yeah.
It's there's a definite correlation between the ability to buy and the ability to gain knowledge, quote unquote.
Totally. Mm-hmm. What are you going to say, Madeline?
Anything fun to add?
Okay, the way I see college is definitely kind of more of like in my world. I don't really look at like all the political aspects of it.
Sure.
But like, okay, growing up, well, my dad, my mom, well, she worked for a little bit, but my dad was the person who, like,
yeah,
the income maker.
Breadwinner.
Yeah. Yeah. And so growing up, we did not have, my dad didn't have enough money to give, like, any of me and my siblings money to go to college. So at 15, I got a job. And the only thing I had, like, I was like, I have to make money because I have to go to college. Mm-hmm. Like, that was for 4 years. That's what my mindset was. And so when I got to college, I was still working two jobs my freshman year because I was like, I have to make money because I have to go to college. Mm-hmm. And I was really going just because, like, I've just, like, my parents told me I had to go to college. Just, like, everyone, all of my friends were going to college. It was just a thing that, like, you just had to do.
Right.
And so I ended up dropping one of the jobs. So I was working one job, but I was working a good amount of hours a week. And so I was just like doing that. And then now coming around to sophomore year, I took on a leadership position at the Catholic Center. And then I still worked a job and I still, you know, did school full time. And I just kind of like, my brain was like, I have to work. I have to go to college, but I have to like maintain a social life. And I
sure.
was just like doing all these things. And I realized it was just like a mental game I was playing with myself. And I booked myself too much. And I feel like, this is 2 years overdue for me, but have decided to take next semester off and not go to college and like just kind of refocus my life and like put my priorities back in check. And like,
that's interesting. I didn't know you were doing that.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm. And so I think in the end, because I think my main goal was always, I want to have enough of, knowledge or a degree or something that I can have a good job that I can provide for my family and like I can support my kids going to college mm-hmm. if they want. I think that was my biggest mindset because unfortunately my parents were not able to do that for me, but like I understand that.
Yeah, totally.
But I want to be able to be that parent for my kids. So I think I do want to go to college and I have an idea of what I want to do, but I don't really know what I want to do. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take like the next 7 months and just kind of figure that all out. And
well, and it's for that reason. I'm actually a huge believer in the gap year mm-hmm. thing. But gap year means you're actually doing something productive in the
yeah.
gap year. It doesn't mean I'm just going to hang out at my house mm-hmm. for the
no,
next yeah. 12
as
months.
As soon as I got out of this past semester, because I was talking to a friend about it who also took a semester off, and I was asking him like what his biggest takes on it were, and he said, as soon as like the semester ends and like your break begins, just start there. Like don't relax, don't take the day off, don't just sit around.
Sure.
And so that's what I did. I set a schedule for work. I keep to it. I've started working out every day now.
Cool.
I like have started little hobbies. I've gotten really into jewelry recently, so uh-huh. I have found a lot of it. And so I'm just like, I'm not on my phone as much as I still want to cut back on time a bit, but like I'm not as much as I used to
yeah.
be. And so I'm like, I've started and I'm gonna keep going with it.
That's so good. I think that's really important. Kind of like what you were saying, because as you know, as people in the church, like our first focus should be our vocation to holiness. And then, you know, our vocation, if you're in college or if you're in school, like as a student or as a friend, like all those different kind of like small V vocations that we're called to. So if school, if college is not benefiting your soul, your mind, your, you know, emotional state, whatever it is, even your body, like you, if it's not serving you some purpose, then it's probably not the best place for you.
Yeah, I think that's key. I think our society has structured college as this 4-year, just sow in your wild oats and go out and have fun and party and live like, I mean, people pretend like it's a transition to adulthood, but a lot of times it seems a whole lot less real than even high school or something like that. And people go in because it's what you do. And then they just party it up and have a great time and make bad decisions and form bad habits. I'm not saying everybody by any means, but I'm saying that tends to be in the cultural zeitgeist of how we treat these 4 years after high school. And then when you're done, okay, now it's time to be a grown up. Like you get to do these little classes. I have kids all the time who come back and talk to me about how much more difficult their high school classes were than their college classes. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's frustrating. It's frustrating to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I would like to say, I mean, after going through so many different colleges, if you're looking to go into college and you don't feel ready, don't go into college. Take that gap year. Take time off to figure out what you want to do in college. I mean, it's honestly a waste of money to go there and try to find some direction or some study that you want to do. You're just throwing money against the wall. Take time if you're not ready to get ready. You know, go work. And if you go on the other route, I was going to chime in earlier and say, if you just want to go straight into the workforce, I'd say from my experience, the best things you can do is just learn how to talk to people, learn how to listen to people, learn how to serve people, and you'll go miles without having a degree. I've gone into, honestly, way too many jobs that require a bachelor's degree. I don't know how to count to three or read or write or draw. I do know boats, though.
Yeah, so. Dan, that's a really good point you bring up is that, like, one really, really prevalent thing I've started to see now is people just see college as, oh, I mean, I don't really know what I want to do or where I want to go.
Find myself and figure
but,
out.
You know, college will probably show me how to do that. So I should just go into college and then I'll already be in it. And then I'll, you know, already be getting going. Like, I know one person that just graduated high school and that's where they're planning on going is they just go to college. They don't know what they want to do. They have like no recollection of what they want to do, but they know, you know, college is probably it. So I should just start going and see what I find out. I'm like, no, just take a year, take a semester.
Right.
Like live your life away from the pressures of school. Cause it really is after you get out of high school, this crazy, like letting go of things. Once you no longer have those pressures of schooling, it's like a summer break that you don't really see an ending to.
Right.
And it's freeing, but it's also nerve-wracking. And so you learn a lot about yourself in that when you don't have to worry about this system that's putting pressure on you and giving you deadlines and giving you projects to do. You have a chance to catch your breath.
Right.
Yeah, and see where you want to go after that. Yeah.
Yeah. You're put into a completely different environment and one that's more natural, more reflective of how you're going to be living for the rest of your life.
Right.
Where
you
become your own master in a sense, as much as any person can be. And then from there, the pressures of what needs to be done to achieve not a baseline success, but what's generally considered success is there and what you can do from there. I really liked what you touched on about the way the zeitgeist portrays college oftentimes. Mm-hmm. It's like freedom without responsibility.
Right.
And that's
exactly.
Ridiculous. It's very garbage. Ridiculous. But it's encouraged in how Ben talked about how college is also portrayed and how the structure is set up, whereas you take more general education classes. General education? What was the point of regular school? And from there, it's kind of designed to be something that you go in directly and you just kind of float around and get kind of nebulous in there and figure out. It's a very interesting system.
Yeah. So freedom without responsibility. I feel like... as we come to the closing of the first half here in a minute already, oh, wow. I feel like a lot of this has just been sort of us dunking on college. And what I don't want to do is say, college is terrible, never do it, there's no purpose in it. And I want to get in second half a lot more to the benefits of college and what you should be looking for and how to prioritize what you're doing. And yeah, I like what you said, rightly ordering your life in regards to your spiritual formation and all of these things. But before we do, I don't know if we've ever talked about this on the show. I would love, Ben, for you to share what you did after high school and how that has worked for you, because it's a pretty awesome story. And like, I mean, it's something that I share with young people who are saying, what am I going to do next year when they're 18 years old?
Cool. Awesome. Yeah. So I graduated high school and kind of gave up that last semester of high school because I knew I wasn't going to go to college. I had already kind of formed the thought in my mind, and I had applied for and gotten an internship at a film studio in Chicago that I was super pumped for. And so I left high school kind of knowing that college wasn't really where I was going to go, but not completely closed off to that area. And so just kind of with the idea in the back of my mind that I know what I'm doing, I kind of have the knowledge of what I want to do, and I already kind of know how to do that thing.
Right.
So I want to get more knowledge in that, but I don't want to take 4 years to do it. Because everyone that I have talked to that has told me, and that was another big thing, is I didn't just make all these assumptions and thoughts of my own. I talked to people that had been in the exact same situation as I am, thinking about the exact same career path, which was audio, video, producing things, just like I'm doing here.
And now it's literally your
and
first
name.
And
now it's literally my last name.
Producer?
Oh, Ben. Producer Ben. Yeah. First name. It's literally my first name now. Yeah, I got to legally change.
But in all seriousness, though, I mean, what is that, 2 years out? 3 years out?
Yeah, almost 3 years now.
So you have a stable, lucrative job.
Yeah.
And you're like building a business.
I work full-time at a technical college as an AV coordinator, and I part-time run a production company working with Kennesaw State University and The Quest Atlanta producing Honest to God, and I work with Rosary Army to produce Adventures in Imperfect Living and all these little things that I'm starting to build more of a business and a connection. I'm actually starting to hire editors and such to work with me, under me.
I got filmed by Ben's company, production studio
by one of my part-time employees.
A couple weekends ago at an education conference. It was really cool.
That's
awesome.
But that kind of career path, and it was because I had that kind of strong foundation of what I knew I wanted to do. And I don't think that the college route couldn't have been something that I took, but I think the education that I was able to get in high school, the knowledge of where to go to get more of that, which it was that production, that film studio in Chicago that I went and interned at, that I got a huge wealth of knowledge just from that, of actually going out and participating in the thing, finding people that knew what they were doing way more than I did that could teach me. And I think in those 3 months I was an intern there, I learned far more than I would have in the first year or 2 years of film school.
I've never met anyone who hasn't said, I learned more on the job.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Than any kind of, I always joke. So I have a master's in education, and I think it's been a detriment to my job as a administrator, right? Because I'm around all these people who don't have a background in education, who built the school, and I'm always saying X, Y, and Z because that's something we've always, you know, that's what you do in education. And now I have all these people saying, yeah, but why? And I'm starting to learn how my education, my fancy schmancy master's degree, what it does, it taught me a whole lot of ways that a whole lot of people did a thing, and it said, this is the right way to do it at the exclusion of other things. And I've been working, you know, I took a different job in a very different environment, very differently than sort of the traditional system of education. And every day I'm surprised by how much more I'm learning from working with these people than working with a lot of other people who learned a very specific, right, way to do things and sort of mindset. I do not want the message of this show to be college is terrible. Don't go to college, you idiot. Stay at home, get a job in the mines, right? Whatever you have to do. And so I do want to talk about the benefits of college, because while I have some philosophical issues with the way that modern American education is sort of run and structured, I think that there are absolutely some tangible benefits to going to school, getting a bachelor's degree, getting a master's degree. Let's talk about this. What do you think, Grace?
Well, one point I was going to make is we were just kind of hating on like all the core classes and things. Like, we did that in high school. I don't want to have to do it again.
Sure.
But just in this past year of schooling, I've had some like really good experiences with the courses I've taken, even though I'm at a secular college and they're nothing out of the ordinary. I was, right. you know, learning about introduction to biology and some of my psychology classes I've been taking. And it's been really cool because, yes, it's a secular college. But at the same time, as I'm learning this material, coming from a background of like Catholic schooling and high school and just being involved in my church and those kind of things, seeing the way that like God's hand is in everything was so cool to me, especially in biology. We were learning about evolution, which some people, you know, might be like, oh yeah, you go to a secular school and you have to learn about evolution. But I was like, this is so fascinating. And the way that different findings and things can fit into the creation story. And I think actually just the last episode, you guys were talking about, you know, creationism and all that stuff.
Right.
But I thought it was really, really interesting just to see like the intricate design. And she didn't even mean to, but she was evangelizing me as she taught. Yeah, it was really cool.
No, it's so interesting. I mean, and once again, I know there's a theme we come back to a lot, but this idea of like truth is true and it's a reflection of God, even if it's reflected in the physical world, right? Regardless of where it comes from, right? Truth and order are all reflections of God and his goodness. That's cool. I like that.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Can we go a little deeper, though, from a practical standpoint about like, yeah, it's great that you can do a little deeper in the stuff that you do in high school, but we call that core class, those core classes for a reason. Ben, what do you want to say?
All right. So this was my kind of like other side of the coin for why I didn't go to college, but why someone in my own same path might want to go to college, which is, and this is from talking to other people that majored in film in college and talking through their experiences in high school and how that differed from mine, which was that I was incredibly fortunate that the Georgia Film Academy came down to a high school level and that I was able to get most of that education through that. And that even before high school, I was homeschooled. And so I had a lot of free time on my hands. So I taught myself how to use Premiere Pro when I was like 13 years old.
That's a computer thing.
That is a computer thing. And that is a skill that I am now paid professionally to use.
Yeah.
And it started when I was 13 years old. And so some people may not even touch that until they get out of high school. They might have the opportunity, they may go to a school that doesn't have the budget to have a video program. And if they find that they still have a passion for video, then college is the way to go. Then you can't get to where you need to go really without going to college first. And in that case, college is fantastic. There are fantastic film schools out there that can inspire you, that can give you the tools that you need.
Tools in school
you need to succeed and get to where you want to go. And I think in that case, if you have little to no knowledge of that thing, sure, you can go and try to do all the research yourself and learn it. And we live in this age where YouTube is a thing and that you can learn pretty much any skill you need on that. But you're going to get a lot more hands-on experience a lot quicker from actual professionals if you don't have any experience in that by just going to college. And that's a fantastic route in that case.
Yeah, and obviously with advanced degrees, with people who are going into medicine or engineering or whatever it is.
I wouldn't want my brain surgeon learning how to do
on YouTube,
yeah.
Started working on this when I was 13 years old. What do you mean? I can't replace your valves in your heart. I think for some of those. But unfortunately, what I tend to think of is, and this is not true, I'm saying, but this is my knee jerk, is the kind of people like me who went to college, got a history degree, and then finished and are like, well, can't do anything with that. I'm going to go be a firefighter and make $26,000 a year.
Right.
But for those specialized degrees, obviously there's some, you need to go. There's extra knowledge that you're not gleaning from YouTube or in your classroom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you going to say something, Dan?
Yeah, I was going to kind of chime in off of what Ben was saying, and college is a great route to go to build upon whatever interest that you have. And circling back to what I was saying earlier, where taking that time before you go to college to figure out what your interests are, 100%. To figure out what you do want to do in your life is super important, because then you can step into college, say do film as your major, study that for 4 years, do medicine.
Right.
You're able to actually go in and study exactly what you want to study instead of the very typical route that I see everybody take, where you get into college and you do a business degree because everybody does business. Mm-hmm. You're definitely not, you know, you're a dime a dozen. Like, come on.
Yeah.
But,
or like me, yeah. I liked history in high school. I'm going to get a history degree.
Yeah.
No plan for what that's going to do. I'm going to get a bunch of debt to get a piece of paper that says, I heard a lot of history lectures.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, you're doing great stuff with that degree. history teacher. Good job, Jay.
Yeah, that is fair. Eventually, but again, you came back around.
You jump into the things just to jump into them. Everybody jumps into a business degree. They jump into criminal justice or whatever the other very typical ones are. Like, everybody does that because nobody knows what they want to do. And then halfway through college, they go, wow, funny, I want to do cybersecurity. I want to do film. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, now you got to start all the way at the beginning of the pipeline and jump back into those classes.
And it's a lot of money.
And it's a lot of money.
Well, on that note, a practical tip, something that I did, I went in as an education major. And as I had already done dual enrollment and freshman year for free, all these things, I was already like, I'd already done some of my freshman year. So I kind of, it kind of bit me in the butt because I took all these education courses and was building my way up that way. And then when I really got into it, I was like, ooh, I don't think this is what I want to do. I think I actually was more interested in like the growth, the psychology aspect of it. Sure. So I switched to psychology, but luckily my school has this program called interdisciplinary studies. Mm-hmm. So if you're in a similar position and you find yourself halfway through college thinking, wait a minute, this isn't my passion, look into like, see if your college has a program like that. It basically allows you to have several different concentrations, two or three, which, you know, puts those credits to good use, but then you can also study something you're actually passionate about.
Yeah.
So it seems to me, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, that what, I mean, I think the big piece of advice seems to be have a path in mind, even if it gets changed halfway through. Mm-hmm. And that's not a bad thing necessarily. Yeah. Right? I mean, but have a path and don't just jump in for the sake of jumping in because everybody jumps into college.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One thing that like it kind of blew my mind when I figured this out was that you don't have to go into college when you're 18.
Right.
You can go to college when you're like 30 and be fine. Like when you, if you figure out, oh, I actually want to do this thing, but oh, I need a college degree, but I just, you know, spent 4 years going down a different path, not going to college. I can't possibly go back to college. You totally can. College is open to anybody at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that is a great point to make. You don't have to jump into it right after college. Yeah. I think there was a good buddy I had when I was taking classes in Iowa, of all places. And he had like he was in the military for like 6 years or so. He had like the 1,000-yard stare. Real scary guy. Real great guy. But he was like 28.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could crush you like a soda can. It's funny. It's really funny guy.
Great.
But yeah, you don't have to go when you're 18.
No, I love the detail.
Yeah.
Is he like boats?
Yeah. Not like boats. He was in the Army.
What a loser.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, he was like also boats. In Iowa. Where are you going to do boating in Iowa?
I don't know.
Me neither. I couldn't find it.
Wait, okay. Also, real quick, I'm not saying wait until this long, but my mom has been a big inspiration for me. She's 52 and she is going to get a nursing license this summer.
Wow.
That's awesome.
So, she never went to college. I think she went for like a semester and dropped out and then started working up and stuff like that. She did have her CNA license for like 10 years. Mm-hmm. And then, so she's going back to school to get her LPN. And
that's cool.
So,
that's inspiring.
It's awesome.
So
it's never too late.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying wait until then.
Yeah,
but
we're
like,
not recommending waiting.
She did
for
have
your 50s.
A whole family in the middle of all that. So
yeah, but that goes back to prioritization too and putting right things or putting first things first, right? I assume she waited until after, right, her like all of her chickens had flown the rooster, you know, left the nest or whatever before.
Yeah,
she went
yeah.
Back.
Like the youngest is 8 now. I think she's 8.
Right.
But yeah, like my dad has retired early, so he's able to be at the house and take care of and stuff like that. So
I jotted down what I thought were my positives about college because I wanted to make it up to college after saying so many mean things about it. Career specific skills, which we just talked about. I want y'all's feedback on these in a minute. One that we didn't talk about that I think is huge is networking. I can't tell you how many opportunities have opened to me because of relationships I built in college and people that I met in college and internships that I had in college, way more than the diploma, right? Of an example, about 4 years ago, I was changing jobs. I was considering changing careers and I had a buddy call me up and he worked. He was a big programming guy at a major international corporation. And he said, "Hey man, I heard that you're looking to do another job. I can pay you insert significant amount of money to come work for me." I said, "What do you do?" And he said, "Well, you'd have to learn how to code." I was like, "Well, I don't know how to code at all." I said, "No, we'll teach you on the job. Like, I know you, you know me, this is great. We'll get you in there and it'll be fantastic." And that never, and I can't, I've got a half dozen other stories like that of doors that have been opened because I knew somebody from my network that I created in college. It was huge.
Yeah.
My third one, spouse shopping. That is why I went to college. I'm not even kidding. I went to college and I went to the college I went to, which was this pretty small traditional Catholic college. Like, I'm going to find a wife. And my wife will tell you to this day, she went to college to get her MRS degree. She's like, no, I was there to find somebody who's going to marry me. And I wanted to get married. It was going to be great. And then the last one is, and this one's kind of iffy, but formation within the context of, like, of freedom. You have a lot more freedom. And if you're in the right place, or you find the right people in the right place, which I'd love to get into, then it is like adulting transition in confines that are good, but that is in very specific situations. If you go to, you know, University of Georgia and you join a frat and your whole community is a bunch of people whose values are totally divorced from yours, probably a terrible trajectory that you're going to be placed on. But yeah, the opportunity at least for human and spiritual formation, depending on your group, with some independence. So those were the four that I could come up with.
I absolutely love that last point you brought up about the formation within the context of college. I took a gap year after I graduated, mm-hmm. and I was working full time at like restaurants and stuff as managing. And I decided to move out on top of that. Mm-hmm. And I totally, there's no connection. There's no understanding of how largely my social life was going to be impacted by leaving high school. It just wasn't something that crossed my mind. Mm-hmm. Precisely. And a big motivator for going back to college was, it almost felt as if the type of friend group that would be beneficial to me and that wouldn't just be, you know, hanging out after the clock,
right.
Was only able to be found on college campuses at my age group.
Yeah.
It was extraordinarily hard to find people that even could have similar passions and even like happiness for life,
right.
Unless it was on a college campus. And that was a very odd experience that I didn't expect to run into, but I'm glad that I've been able to correct my wings on that, because it was almost frightening to have the bottom of people who were supportive and optimistic drop out and only be found on certain educational institutions.
And there's nothing wrong with singing the praises of the social situation that is present in college. Once again, mm-hmm. as long as you are with the right people, as long as you are prudent about who you're hanging out with and the types of people that you're getting involved with, I can sing the praises of so many awesome Catholic centers in the state of Georgia and around the country. And we have on this show before that, I mean, my core group of friends right now is still based on those people that I went to college with when I was 18 years old. And that was, what, 15 years ago, right?
Yeah, just kind of wanting to talk on the other side of the coin of going to college and developing yourself and freedom, getting out of the house, being your own person. If you're not going to go to college and you get to go straight into the workforce, I mean, my two cents of that is just be prepared for it to suck. Because
you're saying from a social standpoint and
just a community standpoint? Just in general. I mean, starting off, getting out of college, having, you know, no real, unless you have skills, I don't know. But for my story, it's like, got out. I think I had an EMT license, making like dirt money and all that. I mean, it was rough times. Like I said earlier in the first half, if you're going to go the route where you're not going to college, just be prepared to work hard and for it to suck. I mean, you're going to get out of it and there's going to be a silver lining to it.
Sure.
But I mean, you have to go into it knowing that it's not going to be a party. It's not going to be easy. It's going to suck. It's going to be hard work.
Yeah.
You have to be prepared for that.
Well, from that formation standpoint, I want to dig into that a little bit more, because I do think that is so important. I mean, how many of us have friends and family members and who went to college and ended up totally abandoning their faith and totally, you know, turning into somebody that's unrecognizable after 4 years? And that's really easy, because especially if you're coming from a family where you were super tight-knit and a part of this community, and then all of a sudden you are outside of the community, be that your church community or your school community or whatever, and you're a leaf floating on the wind, it's really easy to be swayed by the breeze, right? How do you do that well, especially asking some of the girls who are currently at a secular school and fairly faithful and wonderful young ladies?
I'll kick us off. Okay, so I've mentioned it before on like one of our first podcast, but like in high school, I was, I think, one of the only kids in my graduating class that was Catholic, and we had like almost 300. And so I grew up in a very Protestant town. All my friends were Protestant. Nobody really understood my faith. So coming to college, one of my biggest motivators was to find Catholic friends and be in a Catholic community and actually like try to go to daily mass and all the Catholic things that young adults do. But since doing that, I have actually found a great Catholic community. And through that, I have found like I've met their friends or met people who know them. And so like my my Catholic friend group has grown drastically from zero to like many.
Right.
And also it's kind of nice because I found a job through it. I found a place to live through it. Just I've been able to be involved in my church through it. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, for me, it was very similar, like, except almost in ways opposite, because I did go to a Catholic high school and middle school, all that. And it was a really great experience for me. And I had really beautiful friendships from it. And I knew that that's what I longed for. And so going to a secular college was a little bit daunting. So I knew that when I was going there, I had to immediately try and get plugged into the Catholic community.
Right.
But also, luckily, I was bringing two of my friends ended up coming with me. Well, several of my friends ended up coming with me, but two of my really close ones. And yeah, it was all about like a prioritization, like going into college. I knew that that was one of my main goals.
And being purposeful. About
yeah.
It, right. It's not going to fall into your lap, especially in I don't know. I can't think of any big secular schools where, hey, this is an awesome, virtuous community who's striving towards heaven. Oh, everybody. Great. It's so easy to meet you people. You have to be purposeful about it. We've talked about that on the show before. And the biggest piece of advice that keeps recurring is go to the Catholic things and then keep going, even if the first couple times you go, everyone seems weird.
Yeah.
Keep knocking on that door because you're going to find it. You can find a community in college. I don't care what's going on with you. You're going to find people.
Yeah.
But if you want to find good people and stay true to your faith and, you know, uphold your dignity and all of that, you have to be purposeful about it. It's not easy and it doesn't fall in your lap. Yeah. Which is a good segue to, I'm a huge proponent of the Newman List Catholic colleges. Nobody here has gone to any of them except for me, I don't think. But I'm a big proponent of them. Huge shout out to the Newman List of Catholic colleges. Go online, Google it. They're amazing. They're wonderful. And there's one for every taste and variety. The downside always comes down to money, but big shout out to Benedictine and Ave and Wyoming Catholic and Thomas More and 100 others that are now maybe a half dozen others that are really, really fantastic around the country.
Yeah, it definitely does come down to money. I was praying at the beginning of my sophomore year here about potentially transferring to Franciscan University of Steubenville.
Yeah, you have a sibling up at
Franciscan. Yeah, my brother goes there. He loves it. And that's one of the reasons why he's, you know, spoken its praises. But I really did feel drawn in so many ways to go there, but I also knew that financially it wasn't the best decision for me. But like I said, I'm a huge fan of hacks, so I figured my way around it. And next semester, I'm going to take online courses with my school, UNG, having my in-state tuition, in-state scholarships that pay for a great majority of my education. But then I'm going to live up in Steubenville, Ohio with Franciscan students.
Wow. That's
and
cool.
Yeah, leech off of the Catholic community there a little bit.
Which is totally so cool. Legit, guys. Yeah. Once again, especially as a young person in college, a young adult, right? You're allowed to leech off of a Catholic community. Be around good people. Be around the kind of people that you want to be, right? It's also a great place to spouse shop.
There we go.
Yeah. I was going to interject too, again, being the devil's advocate for college and the other route of not going to college. If you don't go to college, just go to church groups. Go to your church.
Totally.
You can find great community there. That's what I did.
Yep.
Fun story with that, but it was like the best choice I think I've made in, I don't know, however many years
probably
I've been
three,
here.
Probably three, because 1, 2, 3, that's as high as we get.
Yeah, yeah, at least 3 years. Yeah, at least 3 years. But it was the best choice I made, and it's just great community you find there. So if you're not going the college route, funny enough, there's like a whole lot of Catholic churches and Catholic groups out there that you can join.
Yeah.
So definitely do it.
And I feel like young people put so much pressure on themselves to conform to these molds that don't even really exist for them, right? I feel like there's so many young people who don't want to leave their comfort zone. They don't want to leave their hometown. They don't want to leave their friend group from high school or from wherever. And they all went to this college. Like, if you are not married, the world is your oyster, dude. Like, go do that. Move to Steubenville, Ohio, and take online classes because you know there's a good community there, and go become a part of it. Like, if you really feel like you're supposed to do that, just do it. And it's going to be uncomfortable, and who cares? Get over it. St. Thomas went to India to preach the gospel and got martyred there. He was not comfortable during any of that. And it was so good and where he was supposed to be. So just don't be afraid to do the weird, cool stuff. It's okay. It's doable. It's achievable. So I want to get into, nothing if I has any other points on that.
Great way to end.
Yeah, I was just waiting for you to chime in with networking.
Talking about networking?
Yeah. Ooh,
I can talk about networking.
You can talk about networking? Yeah, sure. I'm going to get into some of these weird liberal artsy schools in a minute.
Cool. Yeah.
Network it up.
So I am incredibly fortunate that I work at a job that I get to meet a lot of fantastic people, and especially people in my field, because I work as an AV tech, so I'm experiencing and interacting with a lot of other AV techs in the area, and so I meet a lot of them, and so I've integrated myself in that, but not everyone has that. So I think a great opportunity for people that have decided not to go the college route, but still want to try to find those people and build that network of people in the industry you're trying to go into, is find an internship. Like, they're all out there, and you don't have to go to college to get an internship. And a lot of places, like, there's a very low bar for entry. Mm-hmm. Like, even the film studio that I went to, I was kind of in the upper echelon of people in terms of, like, knowledge of the field. Some people that got into the internship and ended up doing great in it and were fantastic and loved it had no idea what they were doing when it came to film. They might have not even had an interest in it, but they were just looking for internships. They found Spirit Juice Studios. And they applied, and they got in. And so a lot of these places, and it's usually going to be unpaid.
Right.
That's one thing, is you're going to be doing a lot of grunt work, and you're not going to get paid any money for doing it. And that's okay, because you're going to meet these fantastic people, and just from being around them are going to learn all these fantastic things and lessons about not only who you are as a person, and especially, I think, because my internship was in Chicago, that was an even better idea. Because I was away from home, just like if you'd go to college, you're away from home experiencing things on your own.
Outside of your comfort zone.
That's where the most growth happens. That's where you're going to learn the most, because you're forced to. Because if you don't, you're going to fail and you're going to be pushed down. So you have to pull yourself up out of that and learn the hard way by putting yourself out there and getting outside your comfort zone. Yeah.
No, I love it. It's totally true.
And find an internship.
I just want to tear down a lot of these barriers. If anybody needs to hear the message of it's okay to leave your comfort zone and leave your hometown and go do cool stuff somewhere. Yep. Go do the cool stuff.
Yep.
If you're 21 years old and don't know what to do with your life, but there's a really cool Catholic community in Lander, Wyoming, or Beloit, Kansas, or on an oil field in South Dakota, go do it.
Go to those places. You,
Grace. Don't go to South Dakota on an oil field. Dan.
To continue to talk about the networking aspect, and especially going into the workforce. I said it earlier in the first half, but my bit of advice, and I guess an example from my own experience, is really going into the workforce, learning how to talk to people, learning how to listen to people, and learning how to serve people are going to just send you sailing.
Yeah.
Boats. Well, send you sailing just forever. It will open up crazy doors. And my example of that, I mean, the most recent job I got, I think, as I always tell people, the random wheeling and dealing that I always do and meeting people left and right, I met the COO of a company, a pretty decent and fun company to work at, and I think I talked to him for 10 minutes, and I'll be honest, the entire time, I was just soft-shoeing him the entire time. It was just absolute gibberish. A week later, I got a job, and in the interview with him, he was like, yeah, you just sat and talked to me, and you actually acted like you could listen.
So that same friend of mine that I mentioned earlier who offered me a job programming, writing code or something for him for this serious company making a lot of money. And when I said, I don't know how to do that, his response was, yeah, but we have so many guys who are really qualified who apply, but they don't have any people skills. They can't have a conversation. They can't look you in the eye. They can't, you know, they can't hold up their end of a talk about anything. And he said, I'll bring you in, I'll give you my endorsement. You'll sit down in front of these guys and they'll love you, and you'll get paid substantially to learn on the job. So much of it really does come down to people skills.
Yeah. People skills are golden. It's so hard to find, and especially the modern age of social media and all this scrolling and instant messaging and other crud that we deal with. But yeah, no, it's absolutely golden having people skills. There's so many people who have gone to college probably 6 years and have doctorates, and I'll tell you, they can't hold a conversation worth anything.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah. So,
terrible. It's like trying to put a bucket into a pail with holes at the bottom. You just can't do it.
So unfurl your sails and
boats.
sail. No, go boat for the horizon.
Yeah.
I was trying to get a boat thing in boating there somehow. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we are out of time. We're going to knock out loaded questions super fast. The only caveat is you have to add the word college to your question. And it doesn't have to make sense. You just have to have it in there. And we are going to do a speed round starting with Drew.
What totally grosses you out?
About college.
Grosses, I don't know, gum underneath the desk.
Okay, that's fair. That's
at
good.
College.
Yeah.
Next, Madeline.
Wait, it has to involve college?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. What is your best subject at school? College.
Ooh.
No.
I'm just kidding. Okay, but these college ones aren't really good. Okay.
Do you need help with the big words?
You're really bad at the speed round. Come on, speed.
Math.
Word. Okay. That's fine.
Arithmetic. Right.
What's the best thing about being really short? And my original answer was going to be being able to sleep with my arms above my head. For
that's
some reason,
college
I like
related
to do that.
Does
but no, yeah, because I slept at college in the dorms. And my dorm bed was a twin XL, which was nice because I could sleep with my hands.
That's the best thing
head
about being short in college.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Phil.
What class do you wish they offered at your school? Boating.
Boating. What's your biggest pet peeve in college? It's those people who try to guilt you into giving them either notes or pretend like they were involved in your group project in class. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my biggest pet peeve.
All right. What is something that college students do that you luckily don't have to do?
Okay.
College.
No. What? No.
That is a good one. Back.
Take finals, because all I hear about right now is all my friends taking finals. I'm like, I have no recollection of what month it is in the school year.
Also, I don't have to work until noon tomorrow. So you guys have fun with that. Mm-hmm. No, that's cool. All right, guys. This has been awesome. Phil, Grace, Madeline, Drew, producer Ben.
Oh, yeah.
And what may or may not be rising and ebbing and flowing to my right in the
just
infinite
like
nothingness.
The
this has been awesome. Thank you guys so much for being here. Thank you guys for watching. Thanks for listening. This has been Honest to God on AM 1160 The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Producer Ben.
Signing off.
Over and out.